In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm tempted to say good morning, but I'm still not sure if that's true. As if you know me, you know how excited I am about the weather. I'm a little disappointed I did not put on my wool socks this morning because my feet are currently freezing. But I'm grateful that you all could join us, whether you're able to be here in person or be online. It is certainly one of those days I am thankful to not be as heavily involved in youth ministry as we have 40 of our young people and families in Orlando enjoying their weekend. So they are welcome to this weather over there. But it's encouraging and startling to see what we look like when it gets cold outside and 40 people from our younger families go to Orlando for the weekend. But here we are, and we are gathering together, and I just couldn't get away from this reading from Jeremiah. And I thought to myself, what do we really know about Jeremiah? Yeah, he tends to be somewhat overshadowed by Isaiah. Yeah, we have the great Isaiah scroll. Well, Jeremiah and Isaiah were actually moving in a similar time frame. Jeremiah was born in 650 BC. That was a few years back. Even here, I don't think we have anybody that remembers that. Some of us have been around a while, but not that long. So this was quite some time ago. He is considered a major prophet in Judaism and Christianity, and he is actually also recognized as in Islam as a prophet. So he's also been attributed to be the author of three books in the Bible, certainly the one, Jeremiah, Lamentations and Kings, I believe. And he is known as the weeping prophet. I suspect that has something to do with Lamentations. But he's got a pretty good resume, don't you think? And here we are still reading from him. And the interesting thing is, Jeremiah was called to speak to God's people, and at a very interesting time that is still sounds a little bit familiar. And a little bit further into his book, we hear in chapter 2, as God says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out the cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water." So Jeremiah is called to speak to God's people at a time when God's people are not very godly. Amen? And this is the call God's placed on his life. Shockingly, he's not initially thrilled. The interesting thing we have to keep in mind also is if we were able to go back to the time that Jeremiah's ministry was beginning and talk to God's people, primarily the Jewish people at this point, the keepers of the law, we would say to them, "You are not following God." I don't suspect too many of them would agree with you. They very much would have felt they were doing what God had called them to do. They were following the laws, they were worshiping, and they were doing an offering sacrifice. They were doing all the things that it said they should do. But here, God is sending Jeremiah to say to them, "You have forsaken me." They were essentially going through the motions. God's people have a tendency to do that. So knowing these things, Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 4, says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying," and it's important, let's grab that just for a second, "the word of the Lord came to me saying." I don't know about you, and if this has happened to you, thank God, but the Lord has never spoken to me audibly. I often say I wish he would, but I'm afraid if he did, I'm not sure I'd really understand. But I do know when God is calling me. I know. I sort of have this sense of knowing in my heart. And I get this clarity of thought that, and it can often come out and sound as though I am hearing the very word from God. It doesn't happen as often as I'd like. And unfortunately, it often happens after I've done something, when I could really expect it to happen before, that would be helpful. But so Jeremiah hears this, and he's saying, however this happened for him, he is clear that God was speaking to him or guiding him. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Now, some of what he's saying in there you would find in some Psalms, being knit together in the womb, God knowing you at that point. And he's just feeding that to Jeremiah so he knows this is God. And when he hears this, I've appointed you a prophet to the nations, Jeremiah, with this extensive resume that we can see from today, says, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy. I'm only a boy. Now that can mean multiple things, and of course the scholars can argue over that all day. He either is saying he is either very young in his faith, or he's actually just a very young man who maybe is also very young in his faith. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter. What's happening here is God is calling Jeremiah to be a prophet, and he doesn't feel capable of being the prophet he's calling him to be. And quite frankly, considering the time in which he was going to carry this message to God's people, the condition God's people were in as a whole, and his position in life, whether he be young or just being a prophet in general, you may recall wasn't always a long job. He's a little afraid, I'm guessing. And like many of us, he just simply went to, let's go with the very obvious thing here so I can tell God that I am not his man. And that's exactly what Jeremiah has done. And you can't really blame him, can you? Now, with this understanding, we can look back, historically and otherwise, and look at that which we see attributed to Jeremiah in Scripture. And we cannot imagine a Jeremiah that was afraid to say what God was telling him to say. Yet that's exactly who he was. You know what the difference is between Jeremiah and so many other of God's people? He did it anyway. He trusted God to do what God said he would do, and he did it anyway. And to us now, he looks like a spiritual giant, amen? A prophet, recognized in Judaism, Christianity, and in even Islam. Author of 3 books in our Bible. A spiritual giant, of course, right? Well, that's how we see him. Now, many of us have encountered other people in our lives today that sort of look like spiritual giants, right? They're often very zealous. That's a polite way of saying to us they might look like Jesus freaks. My mentor looked like that to me. He seemed fearless in his faith. He never hesitated, that I recognized at this point, at that point early in our relationship, never hesitated to speak the truth. He certainly had no problem speaking the truth to me, whether I wanted to hear it or not. And I can remember well when this was becoming clear to me as to how he moved. He came by my office and our store, which at that time sat on the very edge of a part of town most people didn't go into in Sarasota. It's now a rather desirable place as the downtown area continues to expand. But at that time, you didn't really go much further north than our store. You were right on the edge. And he's talking to me about what he's doing next, and he's going into the neighborhood north of the store. And I look at him, I said, well, Father, you have to be careful when you're traveling in this neighborhood. And he looked at me like I was an idiot. And he laughs. He goes, Brian, God has called me to this work in this neighborhood. God will take care of me. And he walked away and got in his car and went off to do the work God had called him to do in the rough neighborhood. And I walked away going, I have so far to go. Here I'm worried about the earthly things. Rather than accepting the living water, just like God's people in the book of Jeremiah, the flowing grace, peace, protection, love of Jesus Christ we receive today, I wanted to rely on my own understanding. The church today continues to do that from time to time, doesn't it? We create our own understanding and our own way to follow Jesus and our own way to do that which he's called us to do. And in our process, we often miss the depth of the call he's calling us to. Because would he really call us to a place of being uncomfortable? Would he call us to a place where we might actually feel maybe just a little bit in danger? And so many times no, it's not like that. Brothers and sisters, yes, it is. It just is. So if you find yourself trusting in God and you want to follow him and you suddenly find yourself a little bit afraid, you're in great company, by the way. This question becomes, will we find the strength to do what Jeremiah did and do what God called him to do anyway? See, because each of us is called. Each of us is called to the ministry of sharing the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Each of us should become zealous in this process that we've been given. See, God is also calling us at a time when we live in a world where many of God's people have forsaken him. And here we are. Those who continue to claim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in a world where Jesus is an offense to many. Would this loving, kind, generous, forgiving, compassionate, grace-filled Jesus ask us to do something uncomfortable? Yes. Not only will he, but he does. And since the beginning of God's calling people to live their life for him, people have heard the call and said, not me. And when we speak in the terms of call, most of us in our tradition immediately think of those who wear a collar. Not true, brothers and sisters. Each of us is being called. Each of us is being given a part in this work that Jesus has given us, that we have received as his heirs through our baptism and our adoption in. We are called to do all that he has done and more, as we hear in the gospel according to John. We, brothers and sisters, have opportunity right now. Probably the greatest opportunity of any of our lifetimes to share the good news in a world that is spiraling and confused. Nothing is the same, is it? What part of your life is the same as it was 2 years ago? Nothing. Now, gratefully, we don't have to go to stores to shop. That just is the most glorious thing for me. Unfortunately, the money we spend to shop is not as glorious. We had our grandchildren this weekend, as you see. We went out, we took them out, and we arrive where we're headed, and the next instruction is everyone has to see Grandma to make sure you get your mask. Can you imagine as a child? And as a grandparent, I have to tell you, getting the mask on a two-year-old, not as exciting as you might think. Keeping it on the two-year-old, impossible. But the fact is, our lives have changed. Now, some see everything is gone, broken, and over. But God doesn't see it that way. God is saying to his church, as I believe him saying, now is the time. We've been comfortable long enough. We've been careful long enough. We have been polite long enough. The world doesn't need politeness. The world needs truth, shared in love. The truth is, God is here. Now, I myself, in the last couple of years, have stopped and looked up to the heavens and said, God, where are you? And of course, his word came to me and he says, I'm in you. And he's in you, his church. So brothers and sisters, when we look into the world and we see that it is ungodly, and God lives within his church, within his very people, it is now our job to go out and overwhelm that darkness, even if that darkness is a threat to us. And most likely for us in this country, the biggest threat is somebody might think you're a Jesus freak. Well, I tell you what, you should be. If the world doesn't recognize you of being one of God's people, are we really with him? Or are we going through motions? Have we forsaken him? Or are we claiming him? We should be obvious in this world. And to be honest, so easy. In a world that's struggling to find hope, how can we remain silent? We live in the hope. We have the hope. How could the church remain silent and polite in the pew when the world is hurting and God is calling? He wants each of us to move. He also knows that we will come up with every excuse in the book, just like Jeremiah, to say, probably not your guy. And if we're going to be honest, we're probably just afraid. We're afraid of what it might look like to our friends, to our family. We may live in a place where it might cost us some relationships, but probably not much more than that. We may get uncomfortable, but as you've proven, those who are able to make it out this morning, being uncomfortable for God isn't so bad. Just put on another layer and don't forget your wool socks. But I think he's calling us to a whole new level of uncomfortable. The biggest struggle I think we have is being able to hear him. We had our annual meeting last week, and I stood up here, and I asked all who were present, how many people in the last year or so have had a deeply meaningful encounter with God while engaging with another person, or you just knew it was God? And I looked out, and you know what I saw? Almost every hand was raised. So if you're wondering if you've ever heard God, or if you know how to say yes, if you are able to raise your hand and say yes to that question, I have had this moment, you already know when God has called you, and you already said yes, or you wouldn't have had that moment. We have to listen, and we have to listen very closely, and it's hard to do because it's so loud, isn't it? The world is so loud. And for some of us who have issues with their hearing, I know it's ridiculous. I'm hard of hearing, and at the same time, I never have silence. It's called tinnitus. There's always a hum, and I miss quiet. I miss the opportunity to hear God, and every once in a while I still do, thankfully. I came here one Thursday several weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago. I was in my office. I had a meeting that evening. I can't even remember why, but I was here. I came early because Susan was working, and there was no reason to stay home because, quite frankly, if I stayed home, I would have sat on the couch and probably fallen asleep and missed the meeting. So I just came back to the office. I'm going to do paperwork. Betty will be so happy. And I get to my office, and I'm not doing paperwork, and something's just going, go to the church. Go to the church. Not something. God. So I got up and I came over to the church. It was Thursday, so I'm thinking, well, I'll go say hi to the choir and maybe the bell choir will be here and I'll just show up and see how everybody's doing. Well, the choir was already involved in something, so I walked past and I came into the nave, and a couple of our bell choir members were here, and there was a gentleman standing in the back here, probably closer to the font, and as I come in, they're like, oh, Father, we're so glad you're here. This gentleman's looking for the AA meeting. Is there one here on Thursday? And of course, my brain's going, I think so. And so I quickly pulled up the calendar. Said, oh, AA meeting is in the parish hall. I'll take you there. And I walked out with him. And we get over to the parish hall, and it's locked, and it's dark. He goes, oh, nobody's here. I said, it's okay. I have the key. So I open it up, and as I open up the parish hall, I walk in, and I go over to turn on the lights, and we're just sort of chatting back and forth. And as I'm going to turn on the lights, I said, oh, is this your first time here? And he hesitated, and he says, yes. And then the word of the Lord came upon me. And I said, is this your first meeting at Holy Innocence? Or is this your first meeting? He said, this is my first meeting. But nobody's here. I said, not true. I'm here. And I sat down with him and I explained to him why it was okay for he and I to have a meeting. And over a period of time, another person came, and another person came, and another person came. And in God's perfect timing, I checked the time and I said, I need to go to my other meeting now. But I am so glad that God called me to be here tonight to help you find your way into your first meeting. See, when we listen and we say yes, our lives become so much more than anything this world could make them. When we say yes, God moves through us. When we say yes and people are wondering where is God, he comes through us, his people, when we say yes. Whether we're afraid or not, the call remains. So I want you to take just a moment. Well, let's wait for a little of that quiet, right? Nothing going on. Just listen. Listen to what God is placing on your heart. And most of us already know what it is, don't we? And now your head is giving you all the reasons why you can't do it. For most of us, not because we're young. But we'll think of 1,000 other reasons. And we might tell God that reason. But listen to what God says to Jeremiah when he gives his excuse. And know that he's speaking just as firmly to you. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a boy, or whatever other excuse you may have had, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. He didn't say, well, I understand you're a little nervous, and because you're a little nervous, I just want to encourage you and say, I know you can do this. And I want you to be comfortable. He said, no, you know what? Don't say that. Just go do this. That's the way God works. Like it or don't like it. If friendly, not friendly, really immaterial. We either believe him or we don't. And he says, you will go and do what I tell you to do, and you will talk to whoever I tell you to talk to, and you will tell them whatever I command you to tell them. And do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations, over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. See, brothers and sisters, we live in a world where things have changed so dramatically. To build and to plant, that is all we do anymore as the church if we're going to be serious about it. If we're going to do what God's called us to do right now in this time, we have to do that. And in order for that to happen, the tearing down, the plucking up, how else did he put it? The overthrowing, the destroying, those things are going to feel like they're happening. Just like it felt the same way to God's people in 5-something BC when Jeremiah began his ministry. The fact of the matter is we are now in a place where the church that was 2 years ago isn't the church that is today. Just like every single other aspect of your life, that church is no more. Amen? And I think we have an opportunity in that that we should celebrate. And you may notice I'm being a little zealous right now. Because brothers and sisters, that time of the church being the center, as I've mentioned before, is so long gone that we have now been pushed into a place in this time of pandemic over 2 years where if we think we're the center, we are seriously delusional. It has come to such a place now that the church must move outside of itself to do the fullness of the work that God has given us. And it's going to happen at such a level, brothers and sisters, that many of us, myself included, are going to have moments where we're going to take in a very sharp breath and go, oh, it died. And then we're going to see life. And then we're going to have moments where we say yes to God. We hear him speak to us, and we say yes, and we have that moment where someone else we have an encounter with who is looking for hope and looking for where is God, and they're going to look at you, and they're going to see him. They're going to see him, and their lives will be changed, and yours will be too. See, because we are called by all stretch of the word to a life of purpose, and that purpose is his purpose. And we are now at a place as the church, that we got nothing left. Thanks be to God. This is our choice. And the choice is we follow where he's calling or we forsake him. And it's not easy, just like it's never been easy. But the answer is still yes. And there's nothing to fear. He's got you. He doesn't call you without equipping you. He doesn't send you without protecting you. And he doesn't leave you when you seek him. Listen in the quiet and move without fear.